Good to see all of you here this morning. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to the book of Exodus, chapter 20. As you make your way to Exodus chapter 20, let me say that I, too, am excited about having our team here this week and being able to once again participate in a local event, rub shoulders with our friends at the rodeo and be able to be a part of that. And We're looking forward to a little meeting afterwards and being able to get started helping them tomorrow. And so keep us in your prayers as we do move forward with this ministry this week. Also, if you are a guest here, if you're a first-time guest here, we welcome you. We're glad that you're here, and we hope that you'll be able to worship the Lord with us today. We have a gift for you around the corner here, a coffee mug, for you to be able to take and remember us as you drink coffee or tea out of that mug. And we want you to take that. That's a gift from this church family. There's also a perforated tab in the bulletin. If you would sign that, put your name on it. You can put prayer requests on it, request information from our church. We'd love to have a record of your attendance. Also, some of you have received these already this morning, but these are invite cards for next week's event in the park, our summertime celebration. If you don't have one or 100, you can take these and take them with you, give them to friends and neighbors here in the community, and invite them to the park next week as we gather again to eat hamburgers and to enjoy some fellowship and some time together there in the park. I'm going to put these right here. You're going to forget them by the end of the service, but I'm going to put them right here. Make sure you get some if you don't have some to take along with you. I'd like to say congratulations to Church of the Rockies softball team, who had a good year, had fun, and finished up this weekend, and so that was a lot of fun. Next year we get started again. Hopefully some of you can come out and just play and hurt ourselves and nurse our wounds and all those kind of things. So today we continue our study in the book of Exodus on the Ten Commandments. And so here at our church, we like to go through series of messages, and we've been making our way through the Ten Commandments. And the title of the series is Written in Stone. And today we've made our way, finally, we've had a few interruptions along the way, we finally made our way to the Eighth Commandment. And today's message is entitled Tipping the Scales. Tipping the Scales. And Exodus chapter 20 and verse 15 is a very short one-liner, and it says, "You shall not steal. You shall not steal." And so we got a lot of guests with us today. We're glad for you to be able to join into this series as well. And you're thinking, okay, I'm visiting this church, and the pastor's going to get up there and tell us not to steal. Yes, I'm going to do that, but I hope to do a little bit more than that along the way. Let's pray together, and then we'll dive in. Father, thank you for your word. We pray as we look, continue our study in the Ten Commandments, that we receive what you have for us, that we will hear from you today, and that we will know that we have been in your presence. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I don't know about you, but I found the first seven of the Ten Commandments that we have studied together to be very challenging and very convicting, probably more so than I had anticipated as we moved into those commandments. In fact, if you've been paying attention, most of us would have to admit that at some time in our life, we've broken every one that we've talked about so far. If you don't feel that way or don't understand that, you haven't been listening. And so today, we come to one where we might think, okay, it's the eighth commandment, you shall not steal. Yes, I've got this one, right? Pastor Lee, I don't steal. I am not a thief. I'm taking a deep breath today in our study on the Ten Commandments because I think that I can say safely that I'm good with this one, the Eighth Commandment. And you wouldn't be alone in saying that and thinking that. In a survey taken by the Barna Group several years ago, 86% of adults claimed they completely satisfied God's requirement of abstinence from stealing. Other studies show that 90% of evangelical Christians claim they never broke the eighth commandment. Never is a strong word. My mother used to tell me, never say never, right? You probably heard that before. But we must understand here this morning that there are many ways to break the eighth commandment. Probably even more so than what we realize, and I can tell you more so than I'll be able to list this morning. Interesting, as we begin to dive into these commandments, how each one could be a series in itself. And so we don't exhaust the subject. We cover the subject and give us the basics in reference to these commandments. But there's many ways to break the eighth commandment, and I think that one way is realized by this idea of tipping the scales. The cover of the October 1936 edition of the Saturday Evening Post featured a picture drawn by Norman Rockwell. The picture was a scene from a butcher shop where a well-dressed, sophisticated-looking lady had come in to buy a turkey for Thanksgiving. And she's standing facing a scale, and there's a turkey in the scale. And on the other side of the scale is the butcher. And they are both looking up to see how much the turkey is going to weigh. On this side, the well-dressed, sophisticated woman has her finger under the scale. And she's pushing up on the scale. On this side, the butcher has his thumb on top of the scale. And as you look at the picture, you'll notice they're both looking at the measurement, and they are both grinning from ear to ear. In the picture, they are smiling because neither one of them knows what the other one is doing. If they did, they probably wouldn't appreciate it very much. You know, the reality is both of them were breaking the eighth commandment. Oh, does that really matter that much, preacher? Yes, it does matter how we break the eighth commandment. You see, neither the nicely dressed, attractive, elderly woman nor the professional businessman who was the butcher would have ever considered themselves to be a thief. I mean, after all, they were not robbing a bank. They were not stealing a car. They were just tipping the scales. Tipping the scales means to upset the balance of a situation such that one side is favored over another, or one gains an advantage over another. Tipping the scales is breaking the eighth commandment, just as much as taking someone's property that does not belong to us. And it has been noted, and here again, I'm not going to be able to give you an exhausted list. It has been noted that theft includes everything from kidnapping to embezzlement. Kidnapping is one that is highlighted in the scriptures, by the way, to embezzlement, from misappropriation of funds to inaccurate weights and measures, right? The Bible often speaks of this idea. It was one of the most common ways to take advantage of others in the Bible, was these inaccurate weights and measures. And so the Bible speaks to us of that in the Old Testament and in the New Testament in the book of James. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 1 says, "Dishonest scales are an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight." Theft includes cheating on one's taxes. Theft includes taking unfair advantage of customers. Theft includes exploiting the weak. Theft includes fudging on one's time card. In fact, have you ever heard the phrase, theft surcharge? Has anybody ever heard that? Theft surcharge. I'm going to tell you what it is. So one of the areas we see theft take place in is the work in the workforce. It's done in many different ways. It's done by failing. The most common way is by failing to give a full day's work. Right? By doing things at work that buy time or idling the time away. I quote from a source that I was reading in reference to this idea of theft surcharge. Employee theft of time and property cost American businesses and their investors more than $200 billion a year. This affects all of us in the U.S. According to some estimates, as much as one-third of a product's cost goes to cover the various forms of stealing that occur on its way to the marketplace. This is what analysts call a theft surcharge, and it's a drag on the entire economy. You know, the fact of the matter is we owe our employees, our employers, the very best that we have to give. In fact, I truly believe from what Scripture teaches that Christians ought to be the best employees there are. That we ought to be setting the example in the workplace. That we should have the best work ethic of anyone else that is by our side doing the same kind of work. Unfortunately, many in today's society have developed an entitlement mentality, and they think that they are worth more than what they are getting paid. This leads them to work less and to justify their behavior and their attitude with statements like this: I'm going to measure my work effort by what I get paid compared to what I'm worth. In other words, I'm only going to work as much as what I think I'm getting paid for, which would be stealing, which would be taking something that has not been given to us. I remember when I first moved to seminary years ago, my young family packed up in a U-Haul. Y'all have seen us do that before. Packed up in a U-Haul and headed from South Mississippi to North Carolina. And when we got there, I was in school full-time. Christy had got a job at Duke University at the lab there. And so it was just a busy time like it is in many young married families. We had two babies at that time. And so I would go to school in the day. Christy would work night shift. I'd come in and feed the children and bathe them and put them in bed. I remember laying on the floor beside Maggie when she was little and Caroline, and I would just be singing my favorite song to them. You know what that is? Jesus Loves Me. And I remember those days well. But here's one of the things I also remember. I remember having to find a job because we needed to have some money to go with what Christy was making in order to live. And so I looked for part-time jobs. But in the area around the seminary, when they found out that I was a seminary student, my application went to the top of the pile. You know why? Because for years, seminary students had been working in those areas and they had been doing a good job. They were, on average, better workers than others, not just because they were seminary students, but because they were Christians, right? Because they came in and worked like they were supposed to work. I only highlight this for you because I think when we see commandments like this, you shall not steal, we're simply thinking about not taking something that is not ours. And there are many ways that we fall prey to the trap of the devil when it comes to this idea of stealing. So the list goes on and on and on of how people who are well-meaning people and even Christians break the eighth commandment. So let's talk for just a moment about how to keep the commandment. Now, you may be able to come up with other lists, but this morning I've just got two things that I really want to emphasize that I think get to the heart of this matter and that will help us when it comes to obeying God's Word and the eighth commandment. And I'll go ahead and give them to you and then we'll unpack them. But the first one is to be content. And the second one is to be cheerful. To be content and to be cheerful. So, one of the major reasons that people steal, that people tip the scales in their favor, that people take advantage of situations for their own gain over others, is because they are not satisfied with what God has given them, but must have more. You see, obeying the eighth commandment is really a matter of trust. It's a matter of trust. When we talk about being content, we're talking about trusting in God's providence and being content with what He has given us. One author said that theft portrays an essential dissatisfaction with one's lot in life and the desire to obtain more than the Lord has granted. You see, God has given us blessings. God has blessed our lives. God has given you what He wants you to have. He's given me what He wants me to have. Along with that, He has given us ability and opportunity to work, to provide for our families, and to enjoy many of the blessings of this life. But to selfishly seek to have more by dishonest gain of any kind is breaking the eighth commandment. It is to show a disdain for how God has already provided for us, and it is to insist on having more by tipping the scales. And when I use that phrase, I think you know what I'm talking about, because we live in such a society that is always trying to get an advantage over the other. But I'm pretty sure God has not called us as Christians to get an advantage over one another. Pretty sure that's pretty opposite of what He wants going on in our hearts and how He wants to develop our character and move us forward in the kingdom of God. Insisting on having more by tipping the scales in some way in order to get ahead. Or, let me put it this way, we think get ahead. I'm not so sure how far we're getting ahead by doing that, especially in the kingdom of God. This certainly does not preclude honest, hard work, but it does prohibit taking from others what is rightfully theirs so you can have more. It does prohibit any activity that you might think of that would lead to such results. Now, we live in a world that is dog-eat-dog. We live in a world that is bloodthirsty to get ahead, where it doesn't matter who you step on to get to where you want to go. Who gets hurt, who gets in the way, we move them out of the way, we step on them, we step over them, whatever it takes to gain the treasures of the world that we so desperately want. We live in a world that promotes bigger and better and faster and stronger, which, by the way, this is a whole other sermon, is why we devalue the life that is yet unborn and the one that we think is too old to do anything. Because it's all about bigger, better, stronger, right? It's value in ability as opposed to value in the life itself that God has given. You've heard me use this phrase before, but it's kind of summed up in this: get what you can what you get, sit on the can, right? So we kind of have that mentality. My prayer alarm's going off. I thought I turned my phone off during the sermon. Now, Charles Darwin introduced to us many years ago the idea of survival of the fittest. And many have bought into that in America and in our world today. Greed itself is a cousin to theft. And the Bible says this, "So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owner." You see, we can trust God to take care of us. How many of you know this morning you can trust God to take care of you? You've seen God take care of you up to this point. We can trust God to take care of us. The scripture says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." God will take care of you, and God will take care of me. In fact, the Bible tells us on the Sermon on the Mount, he takes care of the lilies that grow and the nature that's around us. He takes care of the birds of the air, and how much more will he take care of us than those things? So we don't have to go take something that is somebody else's in order to be taken care of. We don't have to get an upper hand, or we don't have to take advantage of somebody else to get what God wants us to have in this lifetime, because God's going to provide for us those things that we need. And I'm telling you this morning that one of the ways to be able to observe, to be able to obey the eighth commandment is to be content. Paul said, I have learned to be content. So it's a learned behavior. I've learned to be content in whatever situation I find myself. Interestingly enough, and I'm going to try not to veer off too much, but there are many things, again, that we can talk about when it comes to this idea of stealing or theft. Malachi talks about one that we get a little uncomfortable about. Malachi talks about robbing God. And this goes back to this idea of trust. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10, "Will a man rob God?" And he's beginning to talk about the tithe, bring the tithe into the storehouse. You see, the truth of the matter is God has asked us to be generous givers, to give of our time and our talents and our resources. And did you know that when you do that, it is a sign that you trust God to continue providing for you in the days to come? It is like saying, "God, I'm going to offer this. I'm going to offer this time. I'm going to offer this money. I'm going to offer these resources because I know that where I got these, there's much more." Right? God expects us to obey Him in this, and that's a matter of trust. Or we can rob Him, and we can keep that because we think we have it to be able to make it, rather than depending on Him for the things that we need. And this goes back to the idea of being content. How many of you are like me and at times you have a difficult time being content? Okay, just want to make sure I'm not by myself here this morning. It is difficult at times for us to demonstrate that trust in God and be content with the way He is taking care of us and the opportunities that we might have before us. Secondly, not only should we try to be content and trust God with what He has given us, we need to be cheerful. Now, I don't mean that in the general sense. I don't mean that we just need to be happy people. We should be happy people in the sense that we've got the joy of the Lord in us. But I'm talking specifically about being happy for others when God provides for them. Being happy for others when they have more than we do. Being happy for others when they get something we wanted and we don't. So we're kind of talking about the attitude of the heart. When we take from someone else, we are taking something that God intended them to have for a provision or for a blessing. You realize that? So not only if we if we steal in some way that we've talked about, not only when we do that are we not content and not trusting God, we're also going into somebody else's life and taking from them what God wanted them to have, what He had provided for them, what He had given them, what He had the opportunity. Maybe it was an opportunity, maybe it was money itself, whatever it might be. Here's what the Bible says in Romans 12:15. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. But we sometimes seem to get this backwards. We're not happy when others experience the blessings of God, especially if they are the very same blessings that we've been desiring for a long time. And sometimes, deep down inside, we are happy when others seem to get what's coming to them, right? What we think they deserve. Now, this is a sinful attitude, and it needs to be repented of immediately. But you may say, well, Pastor Lee, why are you mentioning these attitudes? Because to steal, to commit theft, to break the eighth commandment by tipping the scales, is to look with contempt on the blessings God gave to others. It exemplifies a dissatisfied heart. Instead, we should be very happy. We should have a very glad heart when good things happen to others. Who are others? Well, that includes our family. That was not so hard, is it? That includes friends. That one's not that hard either. And that includes coworkers, you know, when they get the raise and you don't. That includes, you know what that even includes according to Jesus? That includes enemies. That includes enemies. As we pray for them, right? And bless those who might be regarded as enemies. Have you ever been happy when something bad happened to someone else? When something bad happened maybe to a coworker? I mean, you didn't want them to get hurt too badly. I mean, you wanted them to feel it, right? Enough to sting, so they would get what we used to say is their up and comings, right? They get what they deserve. Have you ever been mad when something good happened to somebody? I'm going to assume that all of you have answered this question yes. The truth is, this gets to the heart of the matter of what this commandment is all about. You've got to remember that what's being demonstrated here is the spirit of discontentment and disdain, and it's in our hearts. You see, the Ten Commandments are not just about behavior. I've pointed that out about every sermon we've had, but the sin begins in the heart and comes out in the behavior. It's always a matter of the heart. And these types of wrong attitudes produce or lead to action that causes us to literally break the eighth commandment in one way or another. But here's what the Bible says. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Okay, so we've looked at two things. Be content, be cheerful. We've looked at two verses in Philippians. One has to do with trust, trusting in the Lord to supply our need. The other has to do with triumph over sin in our lives. I remember as a young man in high school, one of the things I loved to do was play baseball. And growing up, we had Little League, Dixie League in our community, and all of us guys knew each other, even though we were from different communities. We'd play against each other, and then at the end of the year, we'd come together on an all-star team. And almost every year, I made the all-star team, and I was excited about it and played all-stars, and we had some good runs at it, some good tournaments and things like that. Got to high school when it was time to try out for the high school team. And so after tryouts, the first year, my ninth grade year, I walk up to the wall where the list is of names of people who made the team. And my name is not on the list. Well, needless to say, I was devastated. But here is what was on the list. There were guys on the list who never made the All-Star team. And we all knew each other, right? So I was kind of put in a predicament. Didn't know it at the time. As I look back on it, right, hindsight's 20/20. I wasn't very happy for those guys that were my friends that made the team and I didn't. But that was wrong. It doesn't matter how old I was. You say, well, you were younger, you know, I can understand. No. My heart was not right towards those other guys, towards the coaches or anybody else for that matter, right? I mean, it was kind of like, forget this, right? You know, life is challenging. We're always facing people, and we're always facing situations, and we're always facing circumstances that put us to the test, that really bring our heart to the edge, right? And trying to discern, how am I going to feel about this? What am I going to think about this? How should I think about this? And what should I say? And so I would tend to guess this morning that whether it was at work or at play or even in your own family, you've been in those challenging situations where you've had to make decisions and try to have the right heart towards other people. Now let me wrap this up. There's no doubt that Satan is working hard to get us to cut corners, to get us to take advantage of others when we see the opportunity to take advantage of them. There's no doubt that Satan is working hard to try to create situations that we might be able to find a place to tip the scales in our favor. The Bible teaches us that he is the greatest of all deceivers, that he is a liar, and the Bible calls him a thief. A thief. In John 10:10, the Bible says, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I've come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." While Satan would deceive us and lead us to break the eighth commandment by whispering lies in our ears and saying things like this, "It really doesn't matter that much. Just tip the scales a little. It's not going to hurt anybody. It'll all be okay." The Bible tells us something different in Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 28. And in this context, what we have is Paul talking to the church in Ephesus. And as he's talking to the church in Ephesus, he is reminding them of their former way of life, how they had chosen to move away from the former things, from the carnal things, from the sinful things. And in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28, it says, "Let him who stole still no longer, but rather let him labor." You see the contrast there? Don't steal, but work for it. Don't try to take advantage, work for it. "Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor," and listen to this, "working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need." I love how the Scripture gives us the correct way and actually takes it a little farther. So it's not just about not stealing and working. You're working for a purpose. You're working for a reason, and it's not just about you. It's not just about what you can do for yourself, but it's about what you can do for others, according to what Paul is saying to the church in Ephesus. The reason we don't steal is because that is indicative of the old way of life. That's what Paul's saying. You used to steal. Let him who steals steal no longer. That's the way it was in the old life. That's the heart you had then. That's the way you thought then. Now it's different. You're born again. You're a new creation. Let him who stole steal no longer. We don't think that way anymore. We don't act that way anymore. The reason we don't steal is because we trust in God's providence. The reason we don't steal is because what you have is something God gave you, and it's not my right to take it. And God has provided for you in those ways. It's not about survival of the fittest. Instead, the reason we don't steal, but rather work hard, is so that we can share with others when there is a need. That's what Paul says. So, there's always this positive side of the commandment, right? The commandments say do not, and we ask, okay, we say, okay, we're not supposed to do that, but what are we supposed to do? Don't do this, but instead do what? This. Work hard, provide for your family, and provide for the needs of others. And don't tip the scales. I'll close with this illustration. Again, something from my own experience growing up there. We got people from the county and the neighboring county here today that I grew up in. So when I tell stories from my childhood, they can envision me, you know, growing up, playing ball and doing those kind of things. But I used to work at the George County Co-op. It's one of the best jobs I had. I loved it. But it was in those days when I began to learn what work was about. And I'd work in the back warehouse, and we would load trucks, load feed in trucks and fertilizer, and there was a lot of different activities going on back there. We would, the truck would back up to the dock, we'd bring hundreds of pounds of feed, whatever it was, and throw it in the back of the truck. There was always plenty to do, but I learned about work just by being in that environment. We had a few guys that took advantage of the co-op. They would, because in the warehouse we had pallets and we had feed stacked up on the pallets. And it would go 20, 25 feet high and many rows back. Wasn't hard to climb up there. And so I'd start looking for somebody to help me. They'd be laying on top of the bags. And as a young man, I was amazed at that. I thought, I don't think they're paying you to do that. Right? And they weren't. And, you know, illustration after as I began to put this message together, illustration after illustration came to me about how I may have broken the Eighth Commandment and how others I've known have taken advantage of the system, right? Have broken the Eighth Commandment. What I think God wants us to hear this morning is that as believers, we need to be content with the way God is providing for us and work hard in that context to continue to experience the blessings of God. And we ought to be grateful and cheerful for those who are experiencing good things around us. Our hearts should be right towards them. Trust Him. Triumph over sin. Treat others with respect. But here's the last thing. Treat others. Treat others with respect, but just treat others. Treat others. Be good to them. Bless them. Be kind to them. And you'll be going the distance when it comes to obeying the Eighth Commandment. Let's pray together. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for the way it challenges our hearts. And God, thank you for the opportunity to hear and to know and to be reminded of what it means to break the Ten Commandments and to be challenged in how to keep it. And Father, I'm grateful this morning that I can come to you and confess any sin that I have committed in reference to the Eighth Commandment, and that you are willing to hear my confession and forgive my sin and restore me. Father, I pray right now for those who are in our congregation whom you may have spoken to about the different ways that the Eighth Commandment can be broken. And maybe it's not something that they realized that they were doing, and you're convicting them of that this morning. Maybe there's some people who have a habit of tipping the scales, and this morning you're convicting them of that. And God, I just pray that they would cry out to you and they would confess their sin to you and they would obey the conviction that's in their heart right now and they would come to you for that forgiveness. God, would you have your way in our hearts and our minds at these next few moments? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's